Welcome to iRun Radio. Coming up, Boston Marathon champion and Kenyan parliamentarian Wesley Korir.
Definitely running has been made me become who I am, 100%.
Racing for the kids.
It was a really great moment of, you know, seeing your hard work does pay off.
And the woman on the cover of the latest issue of iRun.
I cannot sugarcoat it for anybody because it is exactly just that. Matter of life or death.
All of that coming up on iRun Radio. We're joined now by the editor and general manager of iRun and the author of Feet Don't Fail Me Now, Ben Kaplan. Hi, Ben.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, and this is really cool, Ben, because we've been doing the podcast for a long time, but now, in addition to the podcast being available on the iRun website, we're on the radio every week in Ottawa on 1310 News every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Really happy about that.
Love it. And Ottawa is such a great running city, so I think it's perfect. We finally arrived.
Yeah. So let's talk about Wesley Korir for a minute. We're going to be speaking to him in a few minutes from now. And he, of course, was on the cover of the magazine a couple of years ago. Terrific picture. Remember that? That great photo of him on the cover and that message from him about how if you're not running for something, you're just chasing the wind.
In a job where I speak with runners every single day and Olympians and all these people every single day, and it's not a brag, it's a job, it's work. But, you know, you meet a lot of great people, but none of them compare to him. He wins the Boston Marathon, and at the peak of his earning powers, you know, at the very apex of his training, and he's got everything, the world laid out in front of him, and what does he do? He leaves running, or he doesn't leave it, but he goes back to Kenya and joins Parliament.
Yeah, and he's also got a foundation, of course, that he started that we're going to tell you about, and this is, and look, running changed his life, and then he turned around and used it as a platform to change the lives of others, which is amazing.
Meeting Wesley for the first time, we do a charity issue sort of now annually. I don't really like, it's a charity issue, sure, but it's more like, I don't like putting it that way, because it's more like, we're calling it now like a hero edition, which I like much more. He's a great example of that. We started that with Wesley, and now we do it every year. And it's just about sort of like, you know, individuals have the power to make change, you know. And when you do that via running, we're all runners. And, like, when you use running like a superhero power to change the world, whew, that's a powerful combination. Yeah.
Yeah, and speaking of superheroes, on the cover of the latest issue of iRun is Christine Gauthier, and she is a wheelchair athlete, and you wrote the story about her. It's a very powerful story, and she's going to join us a little bit later, but what an incredibly inspiring woman who's had a lot of struggles but is committed to participating in the Army Run, which is coming up next week, and just an incredible story.
Yeah, and she's not only doing the Army Run, but she's doing the Vimy Challenge. She's just an inspiring person, and she did the Invictus Games last year, and she's coming out to the Invictus Games again, you know, and she is just, I mean, she just refuses to let life beat her down, and she says that she does this training, and she competes in these events, and it makes her feel alive.
Yeah, and I'm sure you had a, I'm sure you had a great time meeting her and chatting with her because she's terrific. She's inspiring. And it's worth pointing out, though, that her life continues to be a struggle, but she does this anyway.
She's in continuous pain. That's what she says. It hurts when she's not training. It hurts when she's not racing. But if it's going to hurt constantly, you know, let her control that. You know, let her have agency, and she doesn't want to sit. You know, they've changed the way we care for the wounded, for our wounded veterans, and for just the wounded in general. She said that when she was first injured, that the doctors would say, you know, do nothing, because the idea was they didn't want her to re-injure herself. Okay, so she was told to very much, you know, you stay home, you relax, you just sit there. And then her mental health began to struggle. So then, compounding everything else, you know, she started to, she's very frank in the article. She even went so far, she became suicidal. Okay, so that wasn't the prescription for her. But slowly, you know, as time changed and she began to get out there and she didn't listen to the doctor's advice. And she says what she did isn't perhaps for everyone, but for her, she needed to keep testing herself. She needed to get out of the house. She needed to challenge herself. And from that, she, you know, those feelings have dissipated. And now she feels powerful, you know, and she's able to help other people, and she's able to spread the message, and she's speaking at the pasta dinner at the Army Run, and she's, you know, it's just a great story of how, yeah, you know, we spend so much time. Well, there's this whole notion that, like, we spend so much time dying and not enough time living. And she is somebody that said, enough of this. I don't want to spend my time doing that. I want to spend my time living alive.
Yeah, good for her. And we're looking forward to the Army Run next weekend. The Terry Fox Run is also next weekend. And I know you're going to be here for the Army Run here in Ottawa. There's also the RBC Race for the Kids, which is next Saturday in Toronto, and then the following weekend on Sunday, September the 24th in Ottawa. We're going to be talking more about that coming up. So there's lots of great stuff in September. And just going back to the charity issue, I know you don't like to call it that anymore. You want to call it the hero issue, but there's a lot of great content. If people haven't seen that, it's available on our website. So many terrific stories about people doing amazing things.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that. And I love people to see this stuff. And, you know, we stand by it and believe in it and believe in the message and think that, you know, all of us have the ability. This is, you know, it's designed to inspire. So we know you people run, and let's do something with that like these people have.
Yeah. Were there other stories that jumped out at you from that issue that really tugged at the heart for you or inspired you or moved you?
There's a woman, I mean, you know, you hear this stuff and it just makes you well up, but it's people take these situations that life gives them and they turn them on the head. So there is a woman, and I can't remember what she's named, but also in October is the Scotiabank Waterfront Toronto Run in the middle of October, STWM. And there's a lady, and she has raised millions of dollars for children's mental health. And her daughter commits suicide. And so the mother now runs, and she's got a big group of people running, and they're running again this year. They're running in Toronto in October. And I mean, I don't want to take this conversation there, but, like, you know, I'm a parent, and, you know, you just think, like,
yeah,
but what this mom has done, and very bravely, and she speaks about it, and she said, you know, it's the same thing as Christine. It's like, if you speak about it or you do something, because if you don't, you know, you don't know what will happen to you. But what she does, so she puts her daughter's face on the shirt, and she has 45 friends, and it's grown every year, the contributions, and everybody knows about it. And they're a big, huge group, and they want, you know, what happened to her daughter not to happen to the next kid. And so they talk about it and raise money for children's mental health, and they use running to do that.
Incredible. Lots of great examples of that, and we're going to talk to some very inspiring people coming up on the show today. Ben, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Great to be on the radio. All right, rock and roll.
That's Ben Kaplan, iRun's editor and general manager. Coming up next, Boston Marathon champion, humanitarian, fundraiser, and parliamentarian Wesley Carrere. Here's a special invitation to iRun Radio listeners. On Sunday, September 17th, after the Canada Army Run, iRun is hosting the official post-race party. It's for racers and race fans alike. And it's from 1 to 4 at The Pump in downtown Ottawa. The first 100 pints of Whitewater Legion draft beer are free to iRun readers, listeners, runners, and race fans. That's next Sunday after the Canada Army Run. Welcome back to iRun Radio. Wesley Carrere was on the cover of iRun magazine a couple of years ago. It was our charity issue, and there was a great quote on the cover. Wesley said, "If you're not running for something, you're just chasing the wind." Wesley Carrere is from Kenya. He's the 2012 Boston Marathon champion, and he and his wife Tara, who is Canadian, run a charity called the Kenyan Kids Foundation. Wesley Carrere was also elected to Parliament in Kenya about 5 years ago, and he joins us now on iRun Radio. Wesley, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tell me what running has meant for your life. It's changed your life, obviously. It's brought you to different places in the world. You met your wife through running. So what has it represented in your life?
Definitely running has been made me become who I am, 100%. I think born in Kenya in a poor family, running gave me an opportunity to go to school, gave me an opportunity to get my degree, given me an opportunity to become a leader I have become. It's given me an opportunity to raise my family, to make money. So it's given me everything. It's been just my everything.
And you ran a lot as a child, like many people in Kenya, but I guess you didn't run competitively until much later than some of your fellow countrymen.
Yeah, no, I ran going to school like everybody else. I ran for fun. I ran, you know, just to get me where I needed to get in trouble. But later on, when I started running competitively, was when I started running for education. I think when I realized that I can come to America and run and get an education, that's when I started taking seriously about running.
Right. And what did it feel like for you to discover that this was something that would take you somewhere, that you could use to get an education and to earn money?
I think it was fun. I think when I realized that, you know, I always say in this world, if you find something that you love to do and you make money doing it, then you'll never work for the rest of your life. So that has always been my principle, is to looking for something that I love to do and do it, and I'm good at it, and I find a way of enjoying it. And when I realized that, oh, running can give me education, running can make help me raise my family, running can help me help others, pretty much, you know, I was fun because I knew this is what I love to do. And I realized that I will never work for the rest of my life because I know I'm not working. I'm doing what I love.
Well, that's a great way of putting it. But I think you also run with a purpose. And I know, obviously, we're going to talk in a moment about your career in government, but also I wanted to touch on the charity that you support and that you and Tara have launched together, because this is part of it for you as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the biggest part of me. You know, I think the key is, after, you know, I became a successful runner, I wanted to give back to the community because I was given a chance. Somebody took a chance on me. Somebody paid for my school fees. Somebody helped me to be where I am. Without them, I'll not be where I am. So I say, okay, what can I do to do that to the same to other people? And so just wanted to give back the way I was given, and running provided me an opportunity to do that. And, you know, it's joy. It's a lot of joy to be able to see that kid that didn't have food, having food, didn't have an opportunity to go to school, now having to go to school because of the opportunities that you have provided. That's the biggest joy that I get from what I do.
So tell me more about the foundation and what you've been able to do with it.
So the foundation, we started the foundation, first of all, in America. When I was still in college, when I met with my wife, we started a foundation to, specifically in the beginning, was just to take kids to school. We look for orphans, we look for poor kids that do not have a chance to go to school because of lack of school fees in high school, because in Kenya you have to pay for high school education. And then we took them to school. So we have paid for about 400 students so far. Some of them are universities, some of them have come to America to run, get an opportunity to go to universities in America. So after that, and then we realized too, there are parents who have, you know, who will have to take their kids to school, but they don't have the opportunity. We wanted to make the father become a real father for their children and mother become a real mother for their children. And the way we discovered to do that is to try to empower the parents, put resources in the hands of the parents so that they can themselves take their own kids to school. That's when we started the Kenya Kids Foundation Canada, with a more focus on enhancing and making dairy farmers become profitable in what they do by sponsoring the formation of cooperative societies, putting up coolers. We started what is called a school fees fund through the dairy, whereby we realized that there are farmers who have one cow or two, but that amount of money they raise by selling their milk on the side of the roads do not help them pay for the school fees of their children. So what we did was we invested into the cooperative, whereby we give them money They give out money through school fees, loans, and then the parents have to pay it back, and then we give it back again the following year. So it's just a revolving fund of school fees, so the kids can go to school and the parents can take care of the cows and they bring their milk back. So that has been very successful. That has been one of the most successful projects we've done so far. And then we have also involved ourselves with the talent development. So we started a program called Transcend Running Academy for specifically for the kids with the talent of running. So we wanted to use our connections with the American universities for us to pretty much prepare these children as soon as they join high school. We prepare them, train them, give them an opportunity to get an education by paying their school fees. And after they finish form four, they pass, we help them do their SATs, and then we connect them with the universities in America for them to get their education.
Wow.
That has been very successful. We have gotten about 10 students to America so far. So it's been good.
Good for you. That's making a huge difference. And what has it meant for you personally to be able to go back to Kenya and make a difference there, not just through the foundation, but also now as a political leader?
I think it's been definitely enjoyable. It's been a journey. It's been good, frustrating at the time. But one thing I told myself is we are in this world for a reason and for a season. The thing is, I want to live my season in this world by finding a reason why God created me and put me in this world. And my reason I found is to try to help people as much as I can to better their lives. And every opportunity I get, my coach always told me, wherever you are, leave that place better than you found it. So my goal is to leave Kenya. You know, I was born in Kenya, and I want, when my time comes to leave Kenya, to leave this world, I want to leave Kenya better than I found it. And that's my goal. So in every opportunity I get, either through running, through helping people through the foundation, through serving them as a member of parliament, is to do the best I can to make sure that I help people to become better than when I found them.
That's a very powerful message. Now, is it challenging at times to balance your career as a runner, your political career? Your wife is an elite runner, of course. Tara is competing as well. Is it difficult sometimes to make all of that work?
Very difficult, very, very difficult. But, you know, at this moment right now, I think we at least things are shaping well. We are now out of politics for a while because we didn't, the election happened and it didn't work, go the way they did an election. They elected somebody else to take over.
So you don't, you're not serving in parliament for the next little while?
No, I'm not serving in parliament now. I think for the next 5 years, we are going to take a break to focus on the foundation. Focus on running again and focus on our family. So that's...
Because you have a child now as well.
We have two children now.
Okay, two. I didn't know that. All right.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
And tell me a little bit about, if you look back on your career so far, obviously one of the highlights was winning the Boston Marathon in 2012. Tell me about that experience.
Definitely the Boston Marathon was the... Yeah, I can say the epitome of my career. It was fun. I think it was one of the amazing experience because Boston is pretty much the best of all. You cannot have another marathon. You know, everywhere you go, people ask you, have you won the Boston Marathon? And winning, being part of that, you know, is just an amazing It's just something that changed my life forever. Everywhere I go, I am known as a Boston Marathon champion.
Yeah.
And that will remain for me forever. So
absolutely.
That tag, that is the best tag to have. The two tags that you want to have as a marathon runner, an Olympic champion and a Boston Marathon champion. So to me, definitely I didn't get to be an Olympic champion, but I'm an Olympian. But also I have... one of the best tags in the world, that is the Boston Marathon champion. So that will stay with me forever, and I'm very, very glad and very happy to be, you know, among the list of many Kenyans that have won the Boston Marathon.
Do you remember the moment when you were running to the finish line knowing that you were about to win?
Oh, yeah, I still remember. You know, I remember I just remember the way, I think I remember the way the race was so bizarre. Like, people were dropping down like crazy.
It was hot, right?
It was very hot, very hot. And the one thing that I remember the most is when they took off, I remember that decision that I had to make, either to go with them or to just run my race. I remember that very well, just telling myself, run your race. Do not worry about what other people are doing. Run your race. And hydrate, because it's very hot. And that paid well. You know, in life, you make so many decisions, and you always hope that they pay well. And that was one of the best decisions that I made that paid well. So
absolutely.
If you do that in life, you always remember that, and you say you're happy to have made that decision. So that was one of the best decisions that I have ever made.
It paid off, and so many things that you have done have paid off as well, not just for you, but for the people of Kenya whose lives you're changing. Wesley, congratulations on all you've done, and thank you so much for joining us on iRun Radio.
Thank you so much. And, you know, we have Kenya Kids Foundation Canada, that we have a team running for the Toronto Marathon this August, and everybody out there that wish to help us raise money and change the lives of many other kids can join up. KenyaKidsFoundation.ca.
Okay.
And they can run and raise money to help us continue helping people in Kenya.
KenyaKidsFoundation.ca.
Yeah, I think it's KenyaKidsFoundationCanada.ca.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wesley, thank you very much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you so much.
That's Wesley Career, who is a Boston Marathon champion, a former member of parliament in Kenya. Still ahead, the athlete who was on the cover of the latest issue of iRun. And coming up next, we'll talk to two runners who are part of the RBC Race for the Kids. We'll be right back. iRun Radio is brought to you by the Niagara Falls International Marathon, crossing the Peace Bridge from the U.S. into Canada on October 15, 2017. The Niagara Falls International Marathon is celebrating its 20th anniversary as one of the most unique races in the world. Coming up on iRun Radio, we're going to talk to the woman who's on the cover of the latest issue of iRun, wheelchair athlete Christine Gauthier. We're joined now by Sarah Sutherland, who's going to be running in the RBC Race for the Kids on September 24th in Ottawa. Sarah, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm glad I could join you today.
And so you are new to running. This is because of the Race for the Kids that you have taken up running. Tell me about how you got drawn into this.
Yes, that's right. I'm new to the whole running scene. So when I joined RBC, I found out about Race for the Kids and was asked to be my branch's team captain. And as the three options for the race were 2 kilometers, 5 kilometers, and 10, I decided to kind of go middle of the ground and do the 5K race. So I started out with a friend of mine in Kingston. We would go out running 1 to 2 times a week. And funny enough, our very first run that we went on together was actually 8 kilometers. And we went to an island just off of Kingston called Wolf Island and did a run around kind of one of the main roads. So that was quite a start to the whole thing. But after that, we spent kind of going from May throughout the summer, 1 to 2 times a week, and we would kind of do a 2 kilometer at first, and then built up to 2.4, and then on my own, I developed a good kind of 2.9, 3K route, and now the last few weeks, working up towards that 5K, and yeah, it's been quite a journey.
It sounds terrific. And so just to go back a step, though, you've been working up to 5K, but one of your first runs was actually 8K?
Well, when I say run, it definitely included running, but it
right.
was definitely a good balance of run to walk intervals. So
okay.
the total route was 8 kilometers, but it was kind of a good jumping in point to see,
yeah.
you know, this is doable.
But that's the way to do it, and that's still admirable to be out there for that long. It's something you were still pretty new to.
For sure.
So tell me what it's been like and how the runs have gone. I gather you've kind of you've become a bit of a runner through this. You're enjoying it.
I am. I never really considered myself someone as a person who would even, you know, be good at running or be interested in it or see it as something that could be relaxing. But Yeah, it's been my one friend who I went with quite a bit actually moved partway through the summer. So I've been going more solo running now. And it's been a great experience. You know, physically, it feels good to be getting out there and moving. And even just that mental stress management side of it, at the end of a long day, sometimes it's just good to change into your running gear and just kind of off you go and get rid of all that stress that's on your mind. So it's been only positive, and I'm really glad I decided to take this experience on.
Let's talk about the cause a little bit. Why is it important for you to be running in the Race for the Kids?
So when I found out about the race, and specifically, I mean, growing up in the Ottawa Valley and then in Kingston, I was pretty familiar with CHEO as a hospital. And how they supported children, but it was the youth mental health component. I have, you know, family members and friends who, when they were in high school and just getting into university, struggled with either depression or anxiety. And, you know, just seeing the lack of resources sometimes available it makes you want to see that change. And so when I found out about the event, Race for the Kids, happening in September, I thought this was a perfect way to get involved, and I love fundraising, but I do really believe in this cause. We were really lucky to have, from a local Kingston resource, Pathways for Children, we had one of their directors come and talk to us at our branch about just even the savings that are available when you support these initiatives. So it's definitely a cause I really believe in.
And running for a cause, how has that helped you keep you motivated and keep you going through this, through the training that you're doing?
I think it's good to be goal-oriented with this, kind of having the summer set aside to start running and then try and get a bit better at it and then work towards a practical goal. So just seeing myself be able to work up to, the other night I did a 5K run around my neighborhood, just over 5 kilometers, and my time goal that I had set for myself was to be able to do a 5K in 35 minutes. Or less ideally, but 35 is kind of my realistic goal. And I clocked in at 5.16 kilometers at 36 minutes on the nose. So it was a really great moment of, you know, seeing your hard work does pay off.
Good for you.
And that, yeah, you can actually, you know, put the work in and see the results for sure.
Yeah. And where do you think running will take you next after the Race for the Kids? Do you plan to do something else?
Well, it's funny. Earlier in the summer, I had talked to my one sister who lives in a different city and told her that I was, you know, running now, and I had downloaded a really good app on my phone that helps with keeping track of all your statistics, and she seemed interested, and so she downloaded it and has now started running as well. And so since we're both kind of doing this and being a good support system for each other, she sent me a few races, either in Kingston or in other cities, to say, oh, we should focus on this one next. So I definitely think more races will be in the future.
Right on. Well, congratulations on all you've done so far. Good luck with your training. And thanks for what you've done to raise money and to raise awareness for the Race for the Kids. And good luck on race day. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you so much, Mark. It's my pleasure. And thanks for having me on.
That's Sarah Sutherland. The RBC Race for the Kids is next Saturday in Toronto and then on Sunday, September 24th in Ottawa. Coming up next, the woman on the cover of the latest issue of iRun. We'll be right back. Once again, here's a special invitation to iRun radio listeners. On Sunday, September the 17th, after the Canada Army Run, iRun will be hosting the official post-race party for racers and race fans alike. It's taking place from 1 to 4 at the Pump in downtown Ottawa, and the first 100 pints of Whitewater Legion draft beer are free to iRun readers, listeners, runners, and race fans. That's next Sunday after the Canada Army Run. Welcome back. Christine Gauthier is going to be hand cycling in the Army Run next weekend. She has a remarkable story of perseverance and dedication, and she's on the cover of the latest issue of iRun magazine. Christine, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
And congratulations on being the cover story of iRun magazine. That's pretty cool.
Yes, it is. Thank you very much for having me there.
So tell me a little bit about how you were drawn to the military. I understand it started out with you being interested in being a police officer.
Yes, my father was a police officer in Montreal, and I don't know, I guess I've growing up with it, I've always wanted to, I tried to Twitter appeal with it. And in Quebec, back then, you had to go to Nicolette Police School, and I just thought I'd grow a little more experience with life and get a little more, a little older before I apply there. So I joined in the military right after high school.
And what were your experiences like in the military? Tell me a little bit about the journey that you've been on.
Yeah, well, you know, as they say, every plan changes all the time. So at first, I really just thought I would just do a few years and then transfer into the police force. But I ended up really liking it. And when I joined in, there was also this opportunity of they offered to us the chance of making a trial of the program and joining as a artillery woman to open up combat arms for women. And that after 1 year, we would have the choice of trade. So I figured, well, okay, I can pull this out for 1 year and then transfer into military police. But ended up really enjoying it because in the artillery, being a combat arms trade, well, there's a lot of fun stuff to do, but it's also many trades or many the possibility of trying out many other things. So, you know, we touch a little bit of mechanics, we touch a little bit of linemen and many other trades with weapons, of course. And so that's one thing that really appealed to me.
But you were a bit of a pioneer. There weren't many women in your field, right?
No, exactly. So when I signed up for this program, there was seven of us that were selected to do this tryout, like I said, for 1 year. Well, it was supposed to be for 1 year that we were told, but then after 1 year, when many of us decided, okay, we'll switch now to our other trade, they said, no, you signed for three, you got to stay for three, and three became 10 for me.
Wow. And you traveled overseas, and you were stationed in Israel for a time?
Yes, I went, I did two UN tours with the Blue Berets, one in Cyprus and one in Israel during the Gulf War.
And I gather from the story in the magazine that you felt at home in the military. You felt like that was where you belonged.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I always laugh when people say the Army made me this way. But to be frankly, I always was this way. And I think it just makes sense that I be in the military. I just suited me and I just fitted right in.
Now, in 1989, of course, you suffered a catastrophic accident during training. And I know this is, as someone with a disability, this is a story that you've had to tell many times. But if you don't mind sharing it with us briefly, just so people understand the context of your story and how your life changed.
Yeah. In 1989, we had to do some training obstacle courses, and we had to jump in a 6-foot trench. And when I did so, there were rocks in the bottom, so I landed badly, I guess, and all my body went out of joint, if I can say. So my knees and my hips and my spine got all crooked. So we tried. Everything got tried to be realigned. They did 8 surgeries in my knees. And at that time, you know, everything was assumed that it was all just in the knees, the problem, which was not, obviously. So because it wasn't probably maybe well taken care of at the time in the spine, it was just passed over. It kept on getting worse and worse. And this is mostly where the biggest problem was, in fact. And so years and years later, like everything is just, it's still worsening in my case. Like my condition is still deteriorating year after year. So it's hard because I never can settle into my disability. Like it's always losing more and more and more as we go. And so it's been a challenge ever since. And
yeah, that's
still is, actually.
That's a really interesting point because there's no new normal for you because it's evolving all the time.
Exactly. And that is one of the hardest things, you know, like always in the unknown, always in the unsteady zone. It's, you know, when I started, like at first when it was just, you know, being on the crutches and being so stubborn and not wanting at all to get into the chair, and then, you know, when I had no choice and I had to get into it, well, then, okay, that was it. But that was not it either. Still, it kept on deteriorating and everything. So I had the, I had more surgeries since. Like they did a major back surgery in 2013. Like within the next 10 years, they're going to have to be replacing probably like every disc in my entire spine. So it's always, you know, having to live with whatever losses I settle into the few months at a time, you know.
And we're going to talk a little bit about how you have persevered and you've competed in the Paralympics and you've been part of the Army run, and we'll talk about that experience. But I know that there have been some challenges along the way, and that Soldier On, which is one of the organizations for which the Army run raises money, Soldier On has been a big part of your recovery and your life.
Yes, I'm really happy that, you know, even though I found Soldier On later on, and I'm really pleased and glad that they offer services to even people like me that were released for quite some time. It was a real blessing when I found them, when I did, because, yeah, they did help me, to get back out into active lifestyle, meet other military people that I was really, like, away from for many years. They paid for some competition I had to go to in cross-country ski for World Cups. Gave me the opportunity to try out many different activities to see what would suit me and what would be comfortable for me to be in and with. And that was really it's doing such a tremendous help and.
It's changed your life,
yes,
right?
Yes, like definitely making us get, like, finding ways to regain control of my life in a way.
Right. So tell me about the first time you participated in the Army Run in 2012.
Yeah. How it happened, because I never, you know, that's one thing, being away from everything. There was no way for us to know of everything that was out there. So with Soldier On, this is the one thing they were doing, was making us aware of the possibilities of things. So Army Run was one of the first things that I did with them. And right away, it was like such an amazing feeling to be back with these other people that I had never met, but we've got to be friends right off, you know, the bat. And year after year, we're looking for each other in the crowd, and all the same people are always there, and always more coming every year, of course, but the very first ones I met the first year that they're every year still also. I got to make like really good friends of that moment. I'm not one person very big on the internet and everything. So even though we know we could keep in touch all year round, for some reason, we're just happy to just find each other and look for each other there and find ourselves and,
right,
you know, reacquaint and cure together there.
Yeah, it's a reunion
but
every
year. The experience
year
of the run itself is, to me, like, I really, my eye roll, I don't run first, so I do my end bike, so unfortunately, there's not that many other women doing it, like, it's growing each year, so yesterday, there was a couple more competitors, so this is fun, because it's starting to be more challenging, but as it's end biking for me, the cycle part, it's not the, I don't see it, I see it as a competitive chance for me to get to do better for my time each year, but it's really more for fun for me and being able to meet back with other military people, whether they are still active or not, because all the active the people that are working there, they're all active serving people, and I mean the camaraderie is still as if we'd be serving ourselves still.
And last year you did the Commander's Challenge, which consists of the 5K and the half marathon. This year you're going to do the Vimy Challenge, which means doing the 5K, the 10K, and the half marathon. What's that going to mean for you to complete all of that?
It's going to be I'm trying, like, as I'm going now, I'm trying to I don't know. I don't even know yet which order I'm going to be doing them in. And it's like, you know, I'm hoping that I don't finish with the half marathon, because to be honest, I was hit by a car in 2015 when I was training with my end bike, in fact, in Florida for kayaking. And I didn't want to stop because of the Paralympics. So my injury got really worsened. But this year I was forced to stop training for the summer. And I didn't want to tell anybody because it was like I still want to go and do my army run and everything. So I'm still doing it, but I don't think I'll be breaking my record. So
that's okay.
I still am going to do the three. I'm still going to do the three events.
Yeah.
But I don't think I'll be breaking my record.
Doesn't matter. Now you.
No, because I still go. I still do like 30K when I go out and train.
Good for you.
But like I say, my speed is not the same. But it's my speed and my shoulder is not holding up as much. So, but. Hey, that's why I'm doing it every day. And when I'm on my bike, and I'm like, oh man, I hope I don't finish with the half marathon.
Now, in the magazine,
I just don't know what the order is.
Yeah, in the magazine, you leave people with a really powerful message about getting out there and staying active. What difference has that made in your life?
It's life and death. I'm very abrupt, and I cannot sugarcoat it for anybody because it is exactly just that. Matter of life or death. The more you go and be active, I don't know if you are yourself, but anybody, the more active you go and do, the more you want to do and the more active you want to be. I was, you know, in my house for 10 years away from any physical activity at all, because back then when I was injured, this is the way medical people thought would be best to preserve. We all know today it's not. And, you know, I was completely depressed. Everything I went out, you know, went from bad to worse and because of it. But having the chance to, and I was telling everybody, you know, the disability you can learn to live with and with everything that you need to be accommodated with as for equipment and whatever, but not being able to do any sports, that was what was killing me the most, I think. So, like I said, you know, I'm saying a lot of things for not much because really I couldn't just stop at life and death.
Christine, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Good luck in the Army run, and thank you so much for joining us on iRun Radio.
Thank you very much. Will I be seeing you there?
Absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely,
well,
I'll be there.
See me, because I'd like to put a face to the name and the voice.
We'll do that for sure. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
That's Christine Gauthier, who's on the cover of the latest issue of iRun. She'll be participating in next weekend's Army Run in Ottawa. And you can read her story at irun.ca. Coming up on next week's edition of iRun Radio, we'll have more on the Army Run, and we'll talk to elite runner Natasha Wodak, who came back from injury to have a strong performance at the World Championships. I want to say good luck to everybody who's participating in the Army Run and the Terry Fox Run next weekend. Thank you so much for joining us on iRun Radio. We'll talk to you next week.